Vous avez remarqué? Les Jeux Olympiques et Paralympiques approchent à grands pas. Ça va être un moment génial, de fête, de célébration évidemment. Et je ne sais pas dans vos cercles, mais de mon côté, une bonne partie de mes amis parisiens préparent leurs vacances d'été et se posent la question de mettre leur appartement sur Airbnb à cette occasion. Ça pourrait financer au moins en partie leurs vacances, alors ça tombe sous le sens qu'ils y pensent. De mon côté, c'est certain, je serai à Lisbonne, donc mon appartement parisien, dont je suis propriétaire, sera sur Airbnb pour cet été, pendant les Jeux Olympiques et Paralympiques. D'ailleurs, ça me permettra de financer, en partie, mes vacances. Et vous? Imaginez ce que vous pourriez faire avec ce supplément de revenus. En réalité, votre logement pourrait rapporter plus que vous ne le pensez. Découvrez combien sur airbnb.fr/hôte. C'est airbnb.fr/hôte, H-O-T-E. Allez, place à l'épisode maintenant.
Allez, Vlan, c'est parti. Bonjour, je suis Grégory Pouy et je vous présente Vlan. Vlan, ce sont des partages d'expériences concrets, sans bullshit, pour mieux comprendre comment le marketing a évolué. Bienvenue sur Vlan et n'hésitez pas à vous abonner.
Alors, une fois n'est pas coutume, je fais une petite intro à ce podcast qui est, je vous l'annonce tout de suite, passionnant. On parle des plus gros mensonges dans le digital. Tout le monde prend un peu pour son grade, que ce soit la programmatique, les plateformes, les agences, la VR, l'AI, un peu tout le monde. Simplement, cette conversation est en anglais et je sais que tout le monde n'est pas forcément hyper à l'aise. Donc, il y a une retranscription complète de la conversation sur mon blog en français, si vous voulez suivre. Et pour ceux qui sont les meilleurs en anglais, vous verrez que moi aussi, j'ai plein de difficultés. Parfois, mon niveau en anglais me fait un peu peur, mais bon, c'est comme ça. On ne peut pas être parfait non plus. Bonne écoute.
All right, so let's go. Hi, everyone. This is a very special version because it's in English. And I'm here in New York with Brian Morrissey, who is the president of Digital Media. And Brian, we've met in Paris, and you've got that special story.
Yes, I slept in your bed, Greg.
That's true. I wasn't there, though. I wasn't there. But, so, Digiday is not that
We're just going to leave that at the mystery. That's fine. I just stayed at Gregory. Gregory was nice enough to let me stay in his apartment. It's a wonderful apartment at Overcom.
That's true. It was a nice apartment.
Yeah,
that's true.
Great area.
So what I love about Digiday, especially, I mean, there's a lot of things that I love about Digiday and Glossy, but the things that it really popped out for me were these... Eden interview of marketers who were, you don't tell their name or their company so that they can be honest, which is, I think, very interesting. And so I want to talk today about the dirty secrets of advertising on different level, like agencies, brands, but also platforms. I think there's a lot of things that people think or maybe not, and that need to be said, really. So first of all, I wonder what you think are the biggest, maybe not lies, but dirty secrets in the industry.
I think the biggest dirty secret is that a lot of people don't know what works. I mean,
That's true.
We're seeing right now a crisis of confidence in digital advertising in particular. Because even with someone like Facebook, they keep coming out with errors in measurement, and they always explain them away. But then when their measurement tool says that they have more U.S. users than the U.S. Census says actually exist, it just leads to, at the higher levels of marketers, just a lack of confidence in anything with digital advertising. When you hear all about the fraud and the bots. And the waste that I think from a CMO level, starting to question, wait, what's real here? Because there's been a lot of money pouring into digital media over the last year, or the last decade in particular. And now people are stepping back. You see P&G step back, and they said, wait a second here. Like, let's see about if we pull back spending, what happens? And they pull back spending, and nothing happened. Uh-oh.
Yeah, but can you imagine the amount of energy people like me, but also you, but also the industry, invest to explain to brands, no, digital is not scary, you should invest in digital compared to TV or magazines.
But I feel like that was marketers were sort of underinvested in digital for a long time.
Yeah.
And they were all, you know, beaten over the head with that Mary Meeker slide that showed time spent at versus budget spent. And they were said, okay, we got to get more digital. We got to move more to digital channels. That's where millennials are. But at this point, I think a lot of money has moved and marketers are not seeing the results exactly. And I think this is just, it's like a premature midlife crisis.
I would agree. I think there's two trends somehow. There's one trend that is digital is not cool. And it's not because you do 100% digital that it's going to be amazing. You can do 100% bullshit with 100% of your budget. That's
sure.
One thing. And the other thing is the society have changed and the way people behave and consume has totally changed. So the way brands that are still spending money on their brand equity. And when you think about it, having a brand on the consumer perspective is the easiest path to make a decision. So you see an advertising on TV, you trust the brand, you arrive in the store, you buy the brand if you can.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with digital, somehow things have changed. The consumer, it doesn't trust much the advertising. He has a very specific problem, his own. He's going to look onto Google, find the exact product that really fit his needs, look at the reviews, and buy that product,
right.
Which is not the same. So I'm not saying brand equity doesn't work. It's just that maybe advertising overall is not what
right.
matters most. So I think that's both
right.
trends.
Right, I think that's true. Like, what I wonder is whether, you know, advertising is always tracked with GDP growth, so GDP
true.
Growth, advertising growth. But what if that doesn't? We have a new article in the magazine that we're just closing right now about it's the big ideas issue. And one of the big ideas is, what happens if that doesn't track? Like, what if advertising doesn't grow, digital or otherwise,
uh-huh.
along with GDP? Like, the
yeah.
industry contracts. And I think what you're seeing, like, with WPP and all of this, like, pullback from the CPG category is maybe that money doesn't go into advertising. Like, everyone's always been assuming the TV advertising shifts to the internet, but maybe it doesn't. Maybe it goes into other stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's true. And also, when we were discussing...
Because we have an oversupply of stuff, right? I mean, we have an
yeah.
oversupply of media. There's an oversupply of advertising. There's an oversupply of agencies. There's this gigantic oversupply.
That's true, actually. And we were talking about programmatic and how programmatic is like when you really talk, if you have the real talk with people, it's like we don't know if it's working well. It's very complicated, actually. So there's also that. I mean,
I think, the thing with programmatic is it's architected in such a way to basically facilitate bullshit. Like, because there's so much complication in it, it creates what I call plausible deniability.
Uh-huh, true.
At every stage of the